Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning service at Mount Greylock Baptist Church. We're glad you've decided to join us this morning. Hope you've gathered your family around and grab your Bibles as we get ready to continue our series in the I Am Sayings of Jesus. But to start the service this morning, we'd like to read out of the book of Psalms. So if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to follow along. I'm reading this morning out of Psalms 107, verses 1 through 15. The Bible says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our service this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again, as always, for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your grace. We ask your great blessing upon the service this morning. As we open the Word of God and we hear the preaching of your Word, let it speak to our hearts. Let it draw each of us closer to you. We ask and pray, Lord, for those that might be watching this morning that have never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that today would be the day that they would realize that there's a God in heaven who loves them, who sent his Son to die on an old rugged cross and to shed his blood and to pay for the penalty of their sin. And this day they would call upon him to save them. We ask and pray, Lord, for all of those that are dealing with this virus. We pray, Lord, that you would be with families that have lost loved ones, that you would comfort them, that you would just touch them in a very real and powerful way. We pray, Lord, for our leadership of our country, that you would continue to give them wisdom and skill as they lead our nation through this pandemic. And we pray for all of the medical and science personnel that are working on a cure for the virus and for treatments for the virus. We think of our local leaders as well and give them wisdom and skill. But thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, that we can draw together with you. Lord, help for us to be prepared for you to speak to our hearts this morning in a very powerful way, in a very real and personal way. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
John chapter 8 this morning, and I want to thank you once again for joining us for this time in God's Word today. So if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to find it right now, open it up, and turn to John's Gospel. And we're looking at the 8th chapter today, and we'll look at verse number 12. So John chapter 8 and verse number 12. If you've been with us these last several weeks, you know that we have been studying the I Am statements of Jesus. And in each of these statements, we're seeing a few themes going on. In fact, the further we dive into this study, the more themes are coming out. One, we've been noticing that there is a confrontation that Jesus is having with his opponents, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. They're coming up against Jesus. And then there's a dispute among the people. They're not as hardened as the opposition is, and they're asking the question, "Who do you think Jesus is? Could he truly be the Messiah? Could he truly be the Son of God?" So all of that is going on, and with each of these statements, Jesus speaks for himself. He wants the people to hear from him as he reveals a little bit more with each statement of who he is. So today we will see in John chapter 8, verse number 12, Jesus declare, "I am the light of the world." Let's read John 8, verse 12. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's pray together. Lord, I do ask that you would help me right now. I pray that you'd guide my words. I pray that you would help the scriptures to speak clearly. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would move on hearts today. I pray that each person that sees your word this morning would their hearts would be challenged, and that we would come away from this message differently than we entered in. So help us, help me, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So you see in this statement where Jesus very clearly says to this group of people, "I am the light of the world." I want to give us each a little bit of background as to what is the circumstance, what is the situation. If you remember from our discussion on the Good Shepherd, we know obviously there was the imagery of the sheep and the sheepfold. Well, there's actually some pretty powerful imagery going on with this statement, "I am the light of the world," as well. In fact, you'd have to look back into chapter number 7 to find out exactly what's going on. But Jesus has traveled with his disciples from Galilee down to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, the reason that they've come is because it is the annual Feast of Tabernacles, also referred to as the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tents. And what this was is this was an annual celebration, one of the highlights of the Jewish calendar, and they would celebrate, commemorate all of the years their ancestors spent traveling in the wilderness, living in tents. And so they would come for this historical celebration and this holiday. Now, part of the celebration, now this was not decreed in the Old Testament. They weren't told to do this in the Old Testament, but there was a tradition, there was a custom that had come to be during the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was the ceremony of lights. So very likely at this very time, and we know when Jesus says this statement in verse number 12 that we just read, he is actually in the temple. We see that later in verse number 20. So Jesus is in the temple, and very likely what has taken place is the ceremony of lights. There were several large candelabras, menorahs as we would think of them. Some people tell us they could have been as tall as 75 feet high. Massive structures, and the temple itself in that day was an amazing structure. If you traveled from a little town in Galilee, you came to Jerusalem and you saw that temple, you would stand in awe. But then with those massive candelabras, during the feast, they would light them and they would remain lit for the entire feast. And so as people would come, they would see these massive, beautiful lights on display. And it's in that setting, it's in that circumstance that Jesus stands with a crowd of people around him and he says to them, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." Now notice the statement in a little bit more detail. He expands on it. And we're going to look at several verses following to explain this a little bit more deeply. But he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So he's the light of the world. There are those who are following Christ and they don't walk in the darkness, which obviously implies that if you're not following Christ, you are walking in the darkness. And then there's those who do follow him who are experiencing the light of life. Now, there's a couple of obvious themes in this verse. All right, obviously, there's the theme of light and there's the theme of darkness. And we'll come back to them in just a minute. But notice also here that there's another theme in this verse, and that's the theme of life. So you have light, you have darkness, and you have life. Now, what has stood out to me in this whole series of all of the I am statements of Jesus is that in each statement, Jesus is emphasizing life, abundant life, eternal life. In fact, think about the, the statements that we've studied already. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. When we looked at the door, we saw he made the statement, I am the door, and he said, I am come to give them life and life more abundant. And then last time we looked at the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So why is it that we have this emphasis of life? And really all throughout the scriptures, you find God himself referred to as the living God. He is the Lord of life. Life, our lives that we possess, our lives are our most valuable possessions. Really, we have nothing more important than our very lives. And that's something that we're experiencing in this situation. To preserve life, to protect life, our society right now is going to great measures, taking great steps for the purpose of preserving and protecting life. Why? Lives. Because life, our lives are our most valuable possessions. And it's all throughout life that we have these moments, whether it's the birth of a child or it's a graduation ceremony, whether it's a wedding celebration, these types of moments that fill us with the joy of living and everything that is good about life. But then we also experience moments where our lives are less than fulfilling, where they are not all that we desire them to be. In fact, we instinctively long for a better life. Think of how hard that we work to make a better life for ourselves. We spend hours and we invest time and money in trying to make the life that we have right here and right now, make it a little bit better. A little bit better for us. A little bit better for our children. Well, listen, the question that we have to come away with as we look at all of these statements and Jesus emphasizing over and over and over again that he brings life, the question we have to ask is it possible that there is someone who knows the key to a true and fulfilling life, to what is truly fulfilling life? And would it be fair to assume that that person who knows that key is the giver of life? He is the creator and he is the sustainer of our lives. So what we want to learn today from the scriptures is this: the life that you and I have, don't spend your life living in the darkness. With Jesus, we can experience the light of life. Now, as you think about this contrast of light and darkness, obviously it's a picture that we have with us even in our art and in culture. You don't have to be a high cultured snob to appreciate the artistic examples that we have of light and darkness. So, for instance, Star Wars, you have the dark side. All of this imagery that we have with us about light versus dark. And so often when people think of the light and the dark, what they think of, and correctly so, is light is the symbol of complete perfection and darkness is the symbol of everything that is evil and depraved and ugly and very, very dark. Well, obviously that is true, but the scripture gives us a little bit more complete picture of what the light and the darkness are. In light, of course, you have perfection, you have holiness, you have goodness, but you also have something else, and it's the unique property of light, and that is that it gives revelation. It reveals, it exposes. And when we are speaking spiritually, the light here is the fact that God is revealing himself and his truth to us. And then the darkness, of course, they describe sinful behaviors, the darkness also describes a spiritual ignorance or blindness, an inability to see the truth before us. And then it also teaches us, the darkness shows us that there is a desire to hide from accountability. So this idea of darkness and light The Apostle John speaks of it earlier in John's gospel when he is speaking of Jesus. You could read John chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. In him, speaking of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. You could go to John chapter 3, right after John 3:16, that talks about eternal life for all who believe. The Bible says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. In 1 John 1, verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So this is what Jesus is talking about. And again, it's a theme all throughout the Bible. When he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, with the rest of the time that we have today, what we are going to see is there is an exchange. Immediately when Jesus makes this statement, the people around him react to it. And so you and I find ourselves in a similar position. While we weren't there in person, we are here today looking and listening to the statement of Jesus, and we are going to react to it one way or another. So you're going to see in the next few verses the ones who will continue to walk in darkness, and then you are going to see the ones who have and receive the light of life. So which one will you be today? Which will I be? Will you walk in darkness, or will you live in the light of Jesus' life? For the believer, you've seen the light. You know the light. But the question is, will you walk in it? And for the unbeliever this morning, if you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, I hope that your eyes are opened today to who Jesus is and to the glory of his light. So part one, the ones who walk in darkness, and then part two will be those who live in the light of life. Let's look first now at the ones who walk in darkness. You want to look at verse number 13. As soon as Jesus says that if you follow me, you'll have the light of life, verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Do you see what they're saying? They're saying, why should we listen to you? You're telling us who you are, but you're just bearing record of yourself. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. So to understand quickly the idea of the conversation here, these people, these Pharisees, these opponents of Christ, they're saying, hey, you say you're the light of life, but why should we listen to you? You're just one person telling us about yourself. And what Jesus does in this passage is he brings another witness onto the stand to give testimony. And that witness is God the Father. He says, I am telling you who I am, but you know this to be true because God himself is revealing this. But unfortunately, these people who walk in darkness will make a choice in this passage, and that choice will be to continue in their darkness. You see, as we think about those who walk in darkness, and it could be that you this morning are listening to the words of Jesus and you're resisting them. Could you consider just for a moment that you may be walking in the darkness? There's really, in this first part, there's three identifiers of those who walk in darkness. And the first that we notice in these verses that we just saw is this. That is that they are looking for reasons to deny the truth. There are a lot of people that see the truth, they know the truth, but they look for reasons to deny. That's what these Pharisees are doing. Why should we believe you? Well, look at all that's happened around them. They've come face to face with Jesus, the Son of God. They've seen the miracles. They've seen people's lives completely changed. God is doing something in their midst. But because of the darkness that they live in, they're looking for a reason to not believe. I've encountered people in my life who have seen and known the Bible. They've known about Christ. They've even seen people they know whose lives have been radically changed. People who have overcome addictions, and people whose marriages have been saved, and people who had no hope, who found hope in Jesus. And they see it, and they see what God has done, and they see God at work in somebody's life, and they still are looking for reasons to deny the truth. It's a number one sign that you are walking in darkness when the truth is right in front of you, but you're looking for reasons to deny. But there's a second characteristic, and this is a scary one. We'll read on. Let me find where we left off. Let's pick it up in verse number 19. Verse number 19, then said they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then, now here it comes, here's the second characteristic. So if the first one is they look for reasons to deny the truth, the second one, those that walk in darkness are in greater danger than they know. Verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Wow, these are strong words from the Lord. Many of us are familiar with the Jesus who is the good shepherd, the one who says, I give my life for the sheep, the one where we quote the 23rd Psalm. Many people are comfortable with that, but they get a little bit uncomfortable with the Jesus who says, if you don't receive me, you will die in your sins. Wow, strong statements from Christ. Let's read on and see what else he says. When you walk in darkness, you walk in great danger. He says, ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, they don't really understand. They say, well, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. He's referring to the devil and the demonic and the evil. He says, you are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Jesus wants them to know, you are in great danger. Because you will not believe me, you will die in your sins. As I think about the darkness and not being able to see, all I can think of with this passage is, in the blackest, darkest night, somebody wandering through the woods. And as they wander through the woods in the darkness, they cannot see what is in front of them. They do not realize that just a few short steps ahead is a cliff that they are about to walk off into. That is the picture of every person who is living their lives without Christ. You see, we have to understand today that without Christ, we can have all of the confidence, we can have all of the pride, we can feel so secure in our lives, but each of us is only one step away from eternity. And if we die without Christ, we die in the darkness. We die in our sins. So without Christ, if we continue to live in darkness, we are in greater danger than we know. But then thirdly, as we finish this first part about the ones who walk in darkness, not only are these people who look for reasons to deny the truth, not only are these people who are in greater danger than they know, but thirdly, they are people who are struggling to understand spiritual truth. And we see that here. In verse number 7, in 27, it says this. After Jesus explains all of this to them, verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They understood not. All throughout this passage, we've seen that these are very intelligent people. These are educated people. In many ways, they, as far as the principles of life and the scriptures from the Old Testament, they were often teaching people and explaining things to people. They had much, much wisdom. But when it came to spiritual truth, they couldn't grasp it. And that's a symptom of the darkness. You see, I mean no disrespect by this, but if you are an unbeliever in Jesus Christ, you are living in the ultimate spiritual darkness. It's astounding that there are so many things in life that could be crystal clear to you. The point here is not that believers are smarter than other people. That's not the point at all. In fact, there are so many things that I can learn. I'm a believer in Jesus, but there are so many things I need to learn from other people throughout the world that have so much more wisdom than I do regarding things that I need for my life. But when it comes to spiritual truth and spiritual reality, it's possible for people to know all of the wisdom of science and literature and history, to be able to understand complex mathematics and all of these things. But when it comes to the spiritual realities, to be in darkness and not understand them. Jesus says, you're of the world. You don't understand what I'm saying to you. And so the sign that someone is in darkness is that they're looking for reasons to deny the truth. They're in greater danger than they know. And they're struggling to understand what it is that all of this teaching of Jesus is really all about. But now we come to the pivotal moment in the passage. It's a place where everything is about to change in this account. And you find it in verse number 28. So here we see the ones who walk in darkness. But now in verse number 28, Jesus says this. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. Now they don't know exactly what he's referring to. You and I know, because we know the rest of the story, we know that he's talking about the day that they are going to lift him up on the cross. He says, when that happens, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Do you see what he's saying right here? He's saying that the cross is going to make all the difference. You see, you can read about Jesus on the page. You can hear all the stories of Jesus. But there is something about our innocent and perfect and a giver of life Savior who gave his body for us on the cross. There's something about him being lifted up on the cross that when we see him in the sacrifice that he gave for us, when we see that, it changes everything. It gives new perspective. It brings new life. It brings new light. The light of the gospel shines from Jesus as he's lifted up for all to see. He says, when you see him lifted up, if you'll truly look at him, if you'll truly look at me lifted on the cross, then you'll know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now look at verse number 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. That statement of Christ about the cross, this explanation that he came to bring light in the darkness, it changed the lives of so many of the people that were listening. They listened to him, and at that moment, they became believers in Christ. They saw the light. You see, the power of God is in that gospel message. And for many of us who already are believers, there was a moment in our life where the gospel message that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, it made sense to us for the first time. Our eyes were open, and we turned to Jesus Christ as our Savior. Do you see that today? Do you see who Christ is and what he's done for you? Would you allow his light to shine in the darkness of your life? And then in verse 31 now, we'll finish by seeing what happens when we live in that light of life. You see, now in verse number 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. They've seen the light. They are now believers. And now he describes the life of a person who's not walking in darkness, but the life of a person who's walking in the light of Christ. He says this, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, what he says here is the light brings true perspective. The light of Christ makes the whole world make sense. He says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will give you this freedom. With Jesus, I gain a true perspective. I see life the way I'm supposed to see it. I see life as ordered by my Creator. I understand it according to the way that He's laid it out to be seen. And once I understand that truth about the reality around me, boy, it brings freedom. It brings true freedom. Now, some of the people here question him and they say, freedom? They say, we are Abraham's seed. We have this great heritage. We were never in bondage. We weren't slaves to anyone. Why would you say ye shall be made free? And Jesus says in verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, in verse 36, he says this, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You see, the light brings life, the light brings truth, and that truth brings freedom. I'm no longer, if I know Christ, I know the master of the universe. I'm no longer a slave to people's opinions. You know, there is no shortage of opinions in this world of how you ought to live your life and how you ought to make your decisions. And often people become slaves to the opinions of other people around them. But with Christ, I'm free from all of that. I no longer am chained to people's theories and experiments that say, well, if you follow these steps, if you go down this path, then life will work out for you. What if they're wrong? What if their plan fails? All of that brings bondage into my life. Why would I run from this idea to that idea when I can go straight to the Creator of the universe? And I'm also free from myself. When I know the truth that's revealed in the light of Christ, I'm free from my own opinions. You see, if I'm honest with myself, what I've learned is that I have rational limitations. That's, I guess, a fancy way to say I make a lot of dumb decisions. I have these limitations, and there are people who live their lives with all of the self-confidence and wisdom, but we must go to bed at night every now and then and think, what if I'm wrong? What if everything I've staked my life on is incorrect? You see, with Christ, he lifts us out of that darkness. He reveals perfect truth to us. And that truth brings us into a life of freedom and a life eternal. And basically, the conclusion here in this passage is this. You see, pride is the darkest deception of all. When we become ultimately self-confident, Jesus here says, I have come to make you free. Pride, the temptation of pride is to come up and say, wait a minute. I might need a little help in my life. I might need a little coaching, but to be set free, you're saying I'm a slave to sin. I just don't know about that. You see, what we learn here is that pride is the darkest deception of all. For some of the people in this passage, their pride and self-confidence kept them from knowing Christ. Your pride will either keep you from knowing Christ, or if you do accept Christ and allow pride to come back into your life, pride will keep you from growing in Christ. You see, the more we submit to the wonderful truth that shines from the light of Christ, the more freedom we experience, the more understanding we have. Jesus says, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And he finishes it by saying that if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So the final question this morning is this. Will you and I step out of the darkness into the light of Christ? It may be uncomfortable. You see, one thing that the light reveals about me is my sin. The light shines on me and shows me that my actions aren't always pure. My intentions are certainly not always pure. My thoughts are often very sinful. And if the light of Christ, sometimes people would just rather live in the darkness than let all that bright light shine and show us who we are. But if we'll allow that to take place, the Bible says that we can let go of our sin. It's called repentance, where we say, Lord, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. Your light has proven that to me. But I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again for me. So I let go of my sin. I let go of my pride. And I believe on you, Jesus. Would you do that today? Would you just take a moment wherever you are, bow your head and bow your heart, and ask Jesus to be your Savior? Put your full faith and your full trust in him right now. Just a simple prayer. Lord, I am a sinner. I believe you died and rose for me, and I put my faith and trust in you. Please save me. And then for the Christian, continue to walk in the light of Christ. Continue to let his light shine in every part of our lives as we walk in obedience to him and experience the true fulfillment and the true freedom that he has for us. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you've shined such a bright and beautiful light into our lives. I pray that each day we would walk close to you. I pray, Lord, that we would follow your leading. We thank you for the life that you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
We are so glad that you've taken the time to join us today. If you've been blessed by the message, or if you have placed your faith in Jesus today, we want to hear from you. Maybe you still have questions about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Please let us know, and we would love to answer those questions from the Bible. We would also be happy to provide you with the Bible and other free Christian resources to help you grow in your faith. You can email us at info@mountgreylockbaptist.com or send us a message on Facebook. You can also call us at 413-662-2107. We would love to hear from you, and our desire is to be a blessing to you in any way that we can. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.